your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, traders out there. This is Paula T. Webb, bringing you the best of the best in the new age of trading psychology. Hosted as always on 1610 WBGS, it's a great place to be. I hope everyone had a nice Christmas and is having a nice Hanukkah. I think I mentioned last week, this is the first time in 100 years when Christmas and Hanukkah fell on the same day. And the energy was different this year, I have to admit. My Jewish friends and I actually celebrated together instead of separately on two different dates. And it was really nice. I put blue lights on my Christmas tree along with white lights and lit my menorah as well to share in fellowship. So let's get started here tonight. It is December 29, the last show of 2024. And we're all looking forward to a great and prosperous 2025. So let's get started with some good information and some good suggestions for you to help round out 2024. For those of you who asked about the situation I had with the jeweler that I punted, I think I mentioned last week that I had given him a number just to get out of the losing trade I was in. I gave him a dollar amount to make me whole, or as close to whole as possible. And he never agreed to it. We set a date and a time, which was this past Monday, the 23rd, to meet at my clubhouse here in my complex. So I didn't hear from him for 10 days, and I was not about to blink and ask him, "Are you coming?" and look nervous, because that's not the way you handle a losing trade, now is it? The way to handle a losing trade is you set your risk parameter. And that's what I did with this ex-jeweler. I gave him my criteria. I said, show up with a certified check in this amount on the 23rd at 9 a.m. and this will close out this situation. So I'll be honest with you, I was a little nervous last weekend. I wasn't sure if he was going to show up, as I mentioned in the show. And so I had to consider what my options were at that point. Was I going to take him to small claims court and you know, lose more money on the deal? Would I write it off entirely? I had to come to an awareness about this. What was it worth to me, you know, to get that 10 grand back? And I decided I was just going to pray, and I prayed to God for days and days and days, and I just said, make him do the right thing. I deserve the money back that he stole from me for damaging my jewelry and stealing my gold, and it's rightfully mine. Now, this is something to keep in mind as traders, because even though this is about a jeweler, and these are tangible items, okay? It's jewelry. It's gold. I mean, what's gold now? You know, an impossibly high price, right? And so he thought he could take slivers off of, like, the bottom of a ring, and I wouldn't notice that the bottom of the ring shank was thinner underneath my finger. Well, he was wrong, obviously. And when I pointed it out to him, he said, oh, no, it was always like that. Well, no, it wasn't. Because what I do to any jeweler I take my things to, I take tons of pictures, I measure, and I weigh before I take in any pieces in for any repair. It's just a habit I got into 25 years ago, and it's something I do to this day. That doesn't mean I don't trust the jeweler. However, in this case, it's a good thing I had that information. So what I'm saying is that's my criteria to take my jewelry into a jeweler. All right. That's my risk. That's my part of my risk parameters. Sorry. Every once in a while, Mark used to make up words. So instead of saying param, he would say parameters instead of correctly saying the word. And sometimes that still gets stuck in my brain. So my point is that in anything I'm going to do, I have criteria before I'm leaving or leaving my items with anybody else, whether it's my jewelry, my car, to get service. That's putting on a trade in my mind. And so before I'm going to leave my car at the dealership or even leave it at a valet at a restaurant, let's say I'm going to leave it at the valet on a restaurant, I'm only going to leave them the key fob. I'm not going to give them the key to the locked glove compartment. I'm going to know what my mileage is when I leave it with the valet. That's your risk ratio, okay? So you're limiting your loss. If I'm going to take it into service, same thing. I mean, yes, you know, at the dealership, they have the keys to get into everything, but I am going to check my mileage. And I'm certainly not going to leave anything of value in the car. And again, when I take things to jewelers, I'm going to have photographs, weights, measurements of everything I'm leaving so that when I get my jewelry back, I know it's my jewelry. And if it isn't, like in the case of this guy that I'm talking about, I had proof. So this is no different than trading, all right? So anything you do that involves anything of value in your life, you have to know the intrinsic parameters of everything, all right? Yes, it's a little bit of work, but if you get in the habit of it, then you don't set yourself up for continuing to lose in other areas. So Monday morning rolled around this past Monday. It was 8:30, and I admit, I got a little weak, and I texted him, and I said, are you on your way? And it took him about 10 minutes. He said, I will be there by 9. Great. So, you know, I got dressed. Before I was even walking out the door, I got a call from the management company, where the clubhouse is, from the office, and they said, your guy's here. I said, okay. So I walked in, and now at this point, he was there. I figured it's done. So I'm relaxed. I'm no longer angry, you know, because if he hadn't shown up with a certified check and the rest of my items, which he was holding hostage still, I would have just called the police. That's it. And had him arrested. I was fully resolved to do that. That's the conclusion I came to. So I walked in. And he was very contrite, and he was acting very nervous, and it was all an act. Because all he talked about in our prior two conversations was how much I hated him. Well, I didn't hate him. This is just business. So he was just projecting onto me. So, you know, he was trying to squeeze out some crocodile tears. Didn't happen. And he said, okay, here's your stuff. And I looked at it. There were a few missing items. Okay, so in that split moment, just like in the market, I had to make a decision. Do I cut my losses or do I stay in the trade? Meaning, do I take what he offered me or do I take him to court? And I made the decision to take what he was going to offer. So what he offered me was $9,000, not $10,000. Not the 12 he actually owed me. I said I would settle for 10, but he gave me 9. Plus, he still had a few of my items. Nothing of any true value, but probably close to $1,000. I was pretty ticked off. But again, you want to think like a trader, because here's the way it ended up, guys. Because when I went to him and I took all this stuff to him to be repaired and redone, that was money I had budgeted into my plan, okay, my monthly annual plan, X amount of dollars for jewelry repairs or jewelry redos. So the $12,000 that I budgeted, because I had a lot of stuff that had to get fixed, that money had already been spent. So and that was part of the budget. All right. So I wasn't out the $12,000 technically. I was out the $10,000 in the ruined jewelry. But technically, I hadn't really lost anything because I had already budgeted that. It's the same as your risk ratio for any trade you're going to put on, right? You decide, all right, I'm going to risk this amount of money on this trade or these sets of trades. So it was no different with the jewelry. Okay, I hope you guys are getting this analogy. So when he handed me the certified check for $9,000, I was like, all right, I'm going to take it because now I'm up $9,000. I'm up $9,000 based on the fact that I had already budgeted the $12,000. So that was already spent. So I wasn't out any more money. I was actually up $9,000. So I took it, shook his hand, and he said, well, I'm sorry you had to end it this way. I didn't even respond. He walked out, and I immediately went to the bank to cash the check. Now, the other part of this equation I'm going to finish up here real quickly is that I turned around and took all that damaged jewelry, and I took it to a jeweler to sell because it was ruined. Okay? I have a really good jeweler over here locally now, and I'd been to him before, once or twice years ago, and I took it in. I didn't tell him anything about the jewelry. He just said, oh, this looks pretty bad. I said, yeah, you know, whatever. So he ended up giving me $3,500 for the ruined jewelry. $3,500 just for the gold, not including any of the diamonds or other stones, right? So that ended up being about another $800-$900. So I got back $4,200, $4,300 plus the $9,000. So I actually was up a couple grand because I made the decision to cut my loss with the jeweler, take his check, and then turn around and sell the ruined jewelry. So do you see what I'm getting here, guys? You have to make a quantitative decision on what you're willing to risk, what you're willing to do, what you're willing to accept on anything you're doing that has value, but especially in trading. You have to know the value of the trade, what it may give you, what it may not give you, what you're willing to risk, and what you're willing to take. So this whole experience with the jeweler was no different than trading every single day. So let's think about that, guys, in the upcoming week. And if you have any questions on this and you need more clarification, you know, let me know, because I'm happy to, you know, expand on that. So that's the end of the jewelry story. And I know you guys are saying, thank God, and we'll be back after a break. Okay, we're back, guys. Now, just one final comment to the story about the jeweler. As I mentioned a few moments ago, I told you I prayed for days that the guy would do the right thing. So if any of you out there think the prayer doesn't work, think again. I can give you countless examples of how praying for something, truly praying without any conflicting beliefs, how it works. We're actually updating our book on that, Life with Grace, and that'll be out probably mid to late February, where there's stories from Mark and I and countless other people about how prayer really facilitates a lot of what a lot of people might say are miracles. But so anyway, keep that in mind. Now, a couple of the questions that I have gotten since the election has ended was, you know, how do we move forward from here? How do we, as traders, stay focused on the markets, considering quite a few politicians that are not Republican have vowed to fight Trump forward? And so, you know, a number of traders have contacted me and said, okay, we're going to have another 4 years of just backbiting and hate and all that kind of stuff. And if you take these politicians' comments at face value, you could say, oh, it's just going to be 4 more years of crap. But the problem is, guys, and this is for here, you know, for everybody here in the U.S. specifically, although I know other countries are having some political discussions as well. But for this segment, let's just focus on the U.S. It doesn't matter who you voted for, okay? It really doesn't. You voted your conscience. You voted how you wanted to do. And that's your decision. That's your prerogative. This is what America's all about. We get to vote for who we personally believe in. That's great. All right, so in any election, one side wins, one side loses. Just like trading. You win on a trade, the guy on the other side technically may lose. All right? Just like with elections here, one guy wins, another guy technically loses. But neither side loses financially because one got elected and the other one didn't get elected, but they've already been in politics, so they're already making money. And it's the same with trading, is that you may win on a trade, and then you may think, oh my gosh, the guy on the other side of the trade lost money. Well, you don't know that. And I've talked about this previously, but I'm getting to a point here. He may have offset that trade. He may have taken half of his trade off. You don't know how many contracts he had on. So you can't allow that to get into your brain that you won and he lost, or vice versa, that you lost and somebody else took money out of your pocket. You can't allow that to enter into your mindset. Just like you can't allow anybody else's comments about who won this presidential election to interfere with your focus. What does it matter who won? All that matters is the election's over, the results are in, it was pretty much a landslide, there's no question about the election being fair, nobody stole it, the people spoke, the people voted, and the people voted in who they want for the next 4 years. So, let's all get over whatever it is you've been unhappy about for the last 4 years and get on with your life, people. Come on. If you're going to hang on to hatred toward a politician, do you think that makes you a traitor? Absolutely not. It makes you a fool. You may not like who's in office, but the bottom line is they're going to be in office for 4 years. So why hate them? Why expend any energy on negativity? Because all that's going to do is ruin your focus for your trading. Anybody who is projecting dislike, negativity, or going on social media, ranting about a politician who's in office, that they have zero control over what they do, is a complete waste of energy. It's a complete waste of thought processes. And that whole idea that you're venting and venting and venting, you know, till the next election, all that's doing is making you focus on a sense of lack, which may or may not be true. It may not be true. You may be a really good trader, but if you start focusing on the fact that your candidate lost, now you're no longer a trader. You're not thinking like a winner. You're thinking like a sore loser, and you weren't even part of the election. I mean, other than voting. But you're not losing anything. You still have a trading account. You still have the ability, the financial capability to trade every single day. So what have you lost by someone getting elected over someone else? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you know how America is going to become great or better or whatever word anybody chooses to subscribe to in terms of being positive? It's going to be a great country because of what you think, what each and every one of us thinks about this country. Is our country perfect? No. No country is. But it's still the best place on the earth to live. And yes, I love this country. That does not make me a weirdo. It doesn't make me a bad person. And if you want to hate me for this, don't listen to my show anymore. I love this country. I did not grow up wealthy. I've said this before. probably lower middle class. We're lucky we had food at the end of the month, okay, on my dad's salary. You know, I had to take out student loans, which took me 10 years to pay back. Nobody forgave my student debt, okay? So am I supposed to be ticked off about that? I could be. What purpose is it going to serve? That's like decades ago. I mean, I could send the White House an invoice, but it's not, nobody's going to read that. They'd think I was a crazy person. So my point being is, why waste your time on things you have no control over? Who cares who's in office? Your primary focus is to trade. Your primary focus is to make money as a trader. Not sit there on social media bitching and moaning because your candidate lost or your candidate got the election stolen. Come on. And I'm talking to both sides here, guys. You know, from 8 years ago to 4 years ago. Get over it. All right? It's time to move on. You want to be a winning trader? Then stop the imbecilic comments about anybody who got elected anywhere at any time. Start focusing on making money. That is your job. That is your career. I can't tell you how many of you call me up. Well, you know, if so-and-so got into office, it'd be a lot different. No, it wouldn't. Because you still can't trade because you're not focused as a trader. You're not thinking like a trader. So you keep in mind, every time you say something negative about somebody in office, you're talking about yourself. Every time you write something on social media that's hateful, you're talking about yourself. Stop projecting, look in the mirror, and start acting like an adult. Be the trader you want to be. Do you think Warren Buffett sits there and grouses about who's in office? No. All he's doing is sitting there looking at his investments. Same with Bill Gates. You know, Elon Musk, anybody, any billionaire out there, any millionaire out there, all they're doing is focusing on growing their equity. That's it. And that's your job as a trader, is to grow your equity to the best of your ability. And I'm busting your chops here today, guys, because I'm really tired of you guys calling up and complaining about politics. I don't talk about politics. This is a mindset. When you think negative, you create negative. That's the way it works. What you put out, you get back. And it doesn't have to do with any specific person or political group. It has to do with your thoughts, what you think about the world in general. No one's taking anything from you. You're allowing it to be taken from you by your own thoughts. Stand strong, just like I did with the jeweler. I made up my mind. I said my prayers. I prayed for the best outcome because I deserved the best outcome, and I got it. Okay, guys? Be the trader you were meant to be by thinking like a winner. We'll be back after a break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, we're back. Guys, you know, I've said this before, but I want to remind you, I am very, very passionate about helping you become the best traders you can be. And sometimes, you know, it hurts me when you get caught up in a closed loop of way of thinking. And so sometimes I bust your chops because I care. Okay? I really, truly care. Just like Mark Douglas did. And all of you that have watched his videos, you know how much he cared. And I care just as much. So I want you to, you know, when I get passionate about stuff, it's because I want you to succeed. I truly do. I'm not doing this because I have nothing else to do. This is my calling. This is my mission. So please take this to heart, that anything I suggest to you is because this is tried and true empirical works that we have created. And, you know, it works. It doesn't matter what era it is. It doesn't matter what market it is. It's all about the way you think and what you believe. And so if you're thinking negatively, then you can't see opportunity in the market. Now, with regard to using prayer a little bit, the New Thought Association, which was kind of like Science of Mind and spiritual centers and that kind of thing, Unity. One of the founders, Ernest Holmes, wrote a book, Creative Mind and Success. And what he wrote was, always when you pray, you must believe. Your idea of prayer is not so much asking God for things as it is believing that you already have the things that you desire. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? It just simply means if you don't believe for any reason that your prayers or affirmations or visualizations will not be fulfilled, then it won't. And this is one of the things I work on quite extensively in my coaching, especially with futures traders, you know, because a lot of futures trader and crypto traders today, they are really living within the concept of wishing and hoping versus actual trading. Wishing and hoping is just that, wishing you had something you don't, and hoping through some miracle that it will magically appear. Okay, well, you know, that doesn't work in trading. All right. And does that sound like someone who is focused on achievement? If you're wishing and hoping? Or does that sound like someone who's really doing little to accomplish their goals? Now let's extrapolate this a little bit. Wishing supports a belief that what you want will not manifest in your life. Wishing only supports a belief that what you want will not manifest in your life. Hoping supports a belief that you know you will not get what you want. You know the old phrase, hope against hope? What's that supposed to mean? That's a contradiction in itself. Again, hoping supports a belief that you already know you will not get what you want. Now, in my coaching with traders, a number of traders have argued with me about this concept of wishing and hoping. And they claim, hey, I can wish and hope, and that's a good way to create things in life. I mean, we're taught as kids, oh, yeah, you know, you can always have hope. Yeah, we can hope for a better day tomorrow, and all these other sayings. So after some lengthy discussion, usually I ask them to make a list of everything they have achieved or accomplished or fulfilled through or by wishing and hoping. After some grumbling, you know, they usually, you know, come back and say they didn't have anything to list. They had no list as to what they had accomplished or achieved by wishing and hoping. So even though they argued with me for some time that wishing and hoping is good, once they spent some time trying to come up with any goal they had achieved by just wishing and hoping, they realized that what I said was true. Wishing and hoping had not helped them achieve anything. So again, think back about your own life, those of you listening here today. Think about the times you wished for something. Did it happen? How about the times you hoped for something to happen or appear? Did it? Now, if you wished and hoped and things happened, great. But more than likely, you were praying, not wishing and hoping. And if anything hasn't happened, then that clearly shows that you are wishing and hoping. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to my show. Now, if you can recognize what is not working for you to achieve your goals and realize your dreams, then you can actually get down to work and make it happen. Now, the reason I bring up this wishing and hoping is simple, because many people approach prayer with that type of thought process. Meaning, well, maybe if I pray hard enough or long enough, God will bless me and answer my prayers. That, my friends, is not believing in the realization of your goals and dreams. That is still wishing and hoping via begging, pleading, whatever other words you can think of, prayer, visualization. But when you say, maybe if I pray hard enough or long enough, that's wishing and hoping. So this does not send a message out to the universe or God that you believe you deserve what you are asking for. Nor does it send any type of positive energy out to the universe or God that you know, you believe you can accomplish what you desire as a trader. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we get into a finite mindset, a closed loop of not believing we can get what we want in life or as traders? We're certainly not born with that type of belief system. We're all born with a clean slate, as we've discussed before, and we're able to believe anything from the time we're born. So how do we end up as adults without a foundation of self-trust that we can achieve our trading dreams? That's simple. Just think about maybe sometimes you might have been told that you would never get ahead because you didn't have a higher degree. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. Have you ever been told to be satisfied with what you currently have? Were you ever told that you would never succeed because you maybe changed jobs more than once or twice in your career? Or have you ever been told you are reaching too high or that you're greedy? Now, of course, these are just a few examples of phrases we may have heard at some point in our lives. And if we hear these types of limiting statements more than once, and especially from people we may respect, then what happens is we begin to develop a mindset of what I call less than thinking, which eventually leads to frustration as traders because we have an inability to achieve our trading goals. By having a less than mindset, which means you believe in having less than what you want, it would be very difficult that you could ultimately achieve your trading goals, because deep down inside you really don't believe you could. And on the other side too, you wouldn't believe you should. So my point being is, where do we go from here? All right. How do we create what we want from trading? And the first thing is, you have to understand how you may be thinking negatively. That's what this mindset is all about. Now, you don't have to have had anyone telling you specifically that you can't do something. Maybe in your life, you may simply have let time slip away, because a lot of you call me up and say, oh, I'm in my 40s and 50s. I think it's too late to become a trader. Or you may have been working at having a family, or taking care of others, working at a different career, or just plain working to make ends meet and haven't achieved some of your life goals. But the thinking process is the same. The energy is the same. It doesn't matter if someone else is telling you not to do something, or you are telling yourself not to do something. The thought process of not doing is the same energy. Meaning, you make a choice not to follow through, not to do something, because of something you believe. Now, you know, I've had people tell me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're being greedy, you're reaching too high, just like I said a few moments ago. And I bought into it for a long time. Until somebody finally told me at my first job, he said, I'm going to let you go because you don't know what it means to be a success. I was in shock. I came home, I cried, got out my journal, started writing down about it, and he was right. I didn't know what it meant to think for myself. I did not know. And so what that CEO did for me was he helped me create a mindset that propelled me into determining who I wanted to be, what kind of trader I wanted to be, and how successful I wanted to be in life. And what he taught me was, guys, and this is really important, it didn't matter what I achieved or when I achieved it, but only that I got on my chosen path. So anytime you allow yourself to get distracted or interrupted from your goals, whether by yourself, your own thoughts, or by other people's comments, that's disrespect. Disrespect to yourself and disrespect to you. We'll go over that in another show. But the point being is, you have to make up your mind what you want to achieve, and you have to get out of your own way. And you do that by taking an assessment, a mental inventory of whether you believe in yourself or not. I believe in you. I tell you that all the time. I know you can do this. So you have to ask yourself, why don't you? Why don't you believe in you? So write down those answers, and we can talk about that next week. In the meantime, I'll be back after a break. You know, I say this a lot, but the reason that I bring it up is because a lot of you that call me for coaching or come to one of my workshops, you don't seem to be grasping the concept. So if you think I'm being repetitive, it's because I feel that I need to make it more clear for those of you who aren't getting it. Okay, so let's look at a quick example. Just like throughout the course of any given day or week, how many times have you told yourself that you will get to a particular task soon? I'll get to it in a moment. Oh, I'll get to it in a little bit. And knowing full well at the time when the task was required or needed to be completed, and yet you felt the need to express yourself in a manner that at the time was or what you thought was best for you. And then that particular task was either rushed through, meaning you didn't necessarily give it your best, or it was completed later than it originally intended, or it wasn't completed at all. So you have to understand that was a choice that you made. Okay? That was a decision that you made, not to engage in a particular task that needed to be done in that moment. Meaning, you needed to analyze your charts, you needed to get your setups, you needed to fix your risk ratio, your profit ratio, you had to get ready for trading. And I know that's the tedious part of it all, guys, but you know, that's what you got to do. You need to set your stops. You say, I'll do it. And then there you quite a few of you, there you are rushing, you know, trying to get this all done, you know, moments before the opening bell. So you got to look back and say, how focused are you on your trading? If you're not doing what you need to do to be ready to trade, to be ready to be a business person at work before, you know, as each trading day starts, then just how much are you in this at all? Now, I've brought this up before because there's a lot of spouses of traders that call me up and say, God, you know, he wears the same clothes every day. He hasn't showered for 2 days. He's, you know, on the computer 12, 15 hours. That's not being focused. That's overtrading. Because if you were focused and you took care of all your trading tasks prior to the opening bell of whatever market you're in, then you wouldn't have to overtrade. If you were focused, if you were organized, if you had everything in alignment, you wouldn't have to be sitting at your computer 12, 15 hours. You wouldn't have to be setting alerts on your cell phone to wake you up to put in a trade or get out of a trade. Just put in your stops. You know, no matter what anyone else has told you or will tell you, it's up to you to choose to decide who you want to be as a trader. You are the only one to decide to step on your own path and go for your gold as a trader. Now, there's a friend of mine, Joe Carocchio, who wrote a book, The Law of Distraction and Interruption, which we're going to be reissuing in early 2025. And the law of attraction simply states that you attract into your life whatever you think about, meaning your dominant thoughts will find a way to manifest. So to avoid distractions and interruptions, I mean, let's be honest, we need to always try to think the most positive thoughts that we can. We need to visualize what we want and need. We need to not allow outside influences to control our lives, especially as traders, in any way. That was my point in the earlier segment about politicians and how you view them. So making choices as traders involves the mental process of thinking along with the process of deciding what the merits of multiple options might be for your probable outcome and selecting one of them for action. I mean, some simple examples would be, let's say, whether to get up in the morning early or go back to sleep and, you know, get up 5 minutes before the opening bell, or, you know, choosing a specific, you know, route for, you know, your commute. You know, it's just, you know, it's simple as that. Every day we make choices. We have to. Some minor and some major. But in every case, we have to think for ourselves. We have to take responsibility for all of our actions. We can't blame the market. We can't blame politicians. We can't blame anybody except ourselves for how we trade. We have to learn how to make choices based on our own integrity and our own positive intention. So how do we do this? Don't dwell on past experiences. Don't dwell on past losses in the market. The money's gone. You can't get it back. What you can do, though, is start over. And I don't mean start over from scratch. I just mean it's a new day. You lost yesterday. You're not going to lose today. That's a decision. Learn from your past losses and apply what you've learned from them. Don't dwell on your present trading account status. Work on growing it. Work on growing your equity. Don't be attached to the outcome of any trade. We've been over this a million times. We'll keep going over it. Every trade is unique, and every moment is unique in the market. And there's always opportunity to take profit. And of course, another one is we can't live in fear. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm afraid. I get afraid all the time. Oh, I'm by myself. Okay, I don't have a partner anymore. So there's some days where I hesitate. So I understand that. But the difference is I acknowledge that fear. I acknowledge that hesitation. I sit down and I write it out, say, what am I afraid of? Why am I hesitating? What's the worst scenario? What's the worst outcome? What's the best outcome? This is how you clear your mind. This is how you tear away the veil of uncertainty. Okay? So as we head into this end of the year, I wish you all great tidings of goodness, and we will be talking to you next year. So this is Paula T. signing off. Thanks again to 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be, and have a great week. Take care.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.